Turn to Matthew chapter 21, please. Matthew 21, and I'm going to be sharing the word on the subject of building blocks of God's word. Building blocks of God's word. And to begin to look at this subject, we look at Matthew chapter 21 in verse 21. Matthew 21, 21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And whatsoever, and all things whatsoever, you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall what?
Receive.
And you could read the context about the fig tree and how it withered away after he cursed it. And his disciples marveled at the miracle that happened. And Jesus turns around and says, if you have faith and don't doubt, not only this can happen, but you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. In other words, there's no limitation to what you can do if you have faith and you don't doubt. And he says you can apply this to your prayers also. Because when you pray, believe that you're going to get whatsoever and you're going to receive. And that whatsoever is available from the Word of God. Because he's the one that's going to energize that blessing in your life. So, in order to receive, in order to appropriate the promises of God to our life, Jesus Christ encouraged his disciples to have faith and not doubt. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Acts, Romans. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to every individual, every man, every born-again believer, the measure of faith. So whatever the measure of faith is that God dealt to every believer, that measure of faith, that amount of faith, that quantity of faith, that measure of faith, you know what a measuring cup is, right, ladies? Pints and quarts and so, and you put so much in your measuring. It is the measure. Now, when you make a cake, you put in the measure of the amount that you need to make that cake. It's enough to accomplish the cake, in other words, okay? You don't go around and say, oh, I need another quart, or oh, I need another cup, or if you do it right. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, the measure of faith. So whatever the measure of faith is, whatever this amount is, whatever this quantity of faith is, it has to include every promise of God that God has made available to you and I. That measure of faith that God has dealt to you must be able to reach and appropriate and include every promise of God that is available to us, because that's how we receive the promises of God. We have faith and don't doubt, and we're able to get whatsoever we ask for. So God has not only given us the promises, he has given us the means by which we are to obtain those promises. God has given us the promises, then he's given us the means by which we can appropriate, which we can reach for, which we can grab those promises and appropriate them in our life. And he's done that through the measure of faith, and he's given it to every man, every man. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Now, the problem with faith is sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we need some help. Sometimes we get confused and we can't believe properly. We don't have the trust in God that we should have. And this is all the working of the adversary, because he wants to mess up our faith. God doesn't want to mess our faith up, does he? Jesus doesn't want to mess our faith up, right? And any believing believer that loves you, we would want to encourage each other in faith, right? So who wants to mess our faith up? The evil one, so we can't receive the promises of God. Matthew 8, verse 24 says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but Jesus was taking a nap." Verse 25 says, "And his disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye what? Fearful, O ye of little faith." He arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a what? A great calm. A great calm. So before Jesus teaches us in Matthew 21 not to doubt, in Matthew 8 he teaches that fear messes your faith up. He says, "Why are you so fearful?" That's why they couldn't believe. And because they were fearful, they had what? Little faith. That it hurt their faith. It hurt their believing, their confidence, their trust in God. And when that is hurt, they're not going to be able to reach out completely the entire length that they need to gather the promise of God. But Jesus Christ was not fearful. That's why he was able to reach out completely and gather the promise of God. And the promise of God available at that time was for the sea to be what? Calm. They couldn't do it. Matthew 21 tells us that faith can move mountains. But when we don't receive a promise of God that is presently available to us, sometimes it's because we have a gap in our faith. We have a gap in our faith. You see, if there's a promise of God up here, and say the promise of God in that particular record was calm, to calm the sea down, right? The disciples were down here in a boat, and the water was hitting, and they couldn't reach this promise of God because the Word of God says that they were what? Afraid, and they had what? Little faith. Little faith. But when they woke Jesus, Jesus did not have fear. Jesus was able to exercise his faith and reach up to the promise of God, bringing the calm into the situation. He got the answer. But the disciples had a gap in their faith, and they were not able to appropriate that promise of God. Now, look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17 is a phenomenal verse of scripture. We read, So then faith, Romans 10, 17, cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of what? By the word of God. Romans 10, 17 gives us the key on how to build our faith. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing. So we hear the word of God. And when we hear the word of God, we can log that in our minds to where ultimately it gets down into our hearts. Because you're going to see that faith in the mind is not faith in the heart. Faith in the mind is something completely different. So we have a scripture, Romans 10:17. And that's a block, that's a building block that we can put in our mind and we can continue to repeat it to ourselves. And we can continue to look at it. And then we can eventually get it down into our heart where we believe it. And it's not only up here anymore, but it's down in our heart where it can do something. You know what Romans 10:17 does not say? It does not say that faith comes by listening. Just because you listen to the Word of God doesn't mean that that's where faith's going to come. See the word hearing in the verse? The word hearing means where you hear clean, clear through to where you do something about it. It's hearing to action. It's hearing to a prophet. Understand? That's what Romans 10:17 means. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God, not just by listening to the Word of God, because you can get somebody on the street and have them listen to the Word of God, right? That's not hearing. You ever say this to your kid? Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, you've been talking to the kid for 10 minutes, right? And their eyes are there, and their eyes are there, and they're like, right? Teachers go through this all the time, I'm sure. And you got to finally get up to say, are you listening to me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? Faith doesn't come just by listening. Faith doesn't come just by listening. You know what else that verse says or doesn't say? Faith doesn't come just because you can repeat it. See, a lot of people retemorize scriptures, and they got them up here. But you know what? That's where they stay. The scriptures stay right here. It doesn't mean any more to them than preparing for a test so they can get the right answer. The Word of God has to be perused. It has to be meditated upon. It has to dwell in you. You have to ask yourself questions. Now, what does this mean to me in my day and time? How can I apply this scripture in my life? How is this going to help me so I can help so-and-so? How does this apply to my marriage? How does this apply to my work? How does this apply to my body, my health? How does this apply to my spiritual life? How does this apply to my son, my daughter, so I can help them? See, now you're taking the Word of God and you're beginning to use it for what it's designed. And you're taking your mind and you're beginning to use your mind for what it's designed to do. And that's what? Think the Word. So you can have the solutions of the Word in your heart and in your mind. And when you start to dwell on the Word, when you start to meditate on the Word then sinks down into your heart and it becomes part of you. And the more of the Word that you learn, the more of God's building blocks you can start to put in your life. Mark. So you read a verse out of Mark, and then you start to think about that verse out of Mark. And then you say, how does that apply to me? How can I use that? And now you got that in your heart. It becomes part of you. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. You'll see this very plainly in Hebrews 4. So faith cometh by hearing, not just by listening, not because you can repeat it, but by hearing. That means where it clicks inside of you and you take it and use it and pull it into your life for that purpose which God designed the Word for. Hebrews 4:2, this is familiar to all of you. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that what? Heard it. They heard the word, but faith doesn't come by hearing alone, just by hearing and then out one in one ear and out the other. It comes by hearing to the end that you get it, that you understand it, that it touches your heart. You understand? That's when it's doing something for you. That's when it's doing something for you. Look at 1 Thessalonians. So, now you got a scripture in Hebrews. You take that scripture, Hebrews 4:2, you think about it. How's that apply to me? Do I prepare my heart and my mind when I walk through the door to hear the word of God? Or do I mindlessly do things out of routine and religion? And you will mindlessly not have any abundance in your life if you do that. The word of God is fresh and new every day. But it will only be fresh and new to you every day in as much as you prepare your heart to receive that word with that type of attitude. Because for some people, it'll be boring, it'll be ho-hum, and it'll be just, oh, I know this scripture. If I say John 3:16, some people will say in their minds, oh, I forgot to lie. I know that I'm not, let's just skip over and go somewhere else. It's okay to zone out while this scripture is being read because I've heard it so many times. That's not the right attitude to have in preparation to receive the Word of God. That's not receiving the Word, being having it mixed with faith, because it's not going to profit you. It's not going to profit you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the Word of God which you heard of us," the word came from man. It was the word of God, but there were men speaking it. The word that you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, howbeit man was speaking it, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in also in you that what? See, when they received the word, and the Thessalonian church was the model church, they were moving the word in great pressure. Great travail, great pain, great odds that the adversary was throwing them against them. But they received the word, they stood up. They said, this is the word of God. This is the word of God. And you know, you can get so used to hearing the scriptures taught that you can fall into this ho-hum type of heart and attitude where, oh, that's just so-and-so, or oh, that's just Matthew, oh, I know that record. Because your heart gets calloused, your heart gets covered over, and then the electricity, the vibrance, the dynamic of the Word of God will not live in you. Not because the Word of God is any less, not because God's hand is shortened, but because you have not prepared your heart, or you have allowed the adversary to take you at another place in another period of time in your mind. Whether by pressure, whether by pleasure, whether by thinking of your job, thinking of the upcoming events, thinking of your girlfriend, boyfriend, mother-in-law, cocker spaniel, whatever it be. There's all kinds of reasons the adversary will just take your mind and say, this is where you need to be and this is what you should be thinking about when it comes time for the Word of God. They received it and it worked in them because they believed. That's not mental assent. Mental assent is having all the scriptures, knowing all the right words, knowing all the cliches to quote back so you can stay out of trouble and look spiritual, but not having any of the practical application and abundance of God's promises in your life. And you fool yourself. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1. Just back a page. Verse 5. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes." Romans 10 again. It says that when the word was spoken and these men spoke it, it didn't come in word only, but it also came in power. It came in power. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, Romans 10:13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. See, a preacher's got to be sent. And when he preaches, God's got to back up what he preaches. For our word came not only unto you in word, but also in what? God backed up his word that was spoken accurately by the preacher. You can't just preach anything you want. You can, but God's not going to back it up. How shall they preach except they be sent? If God sends a minister, if God sends a preacher, God's going to back up what that man or that woman is bringing to you, howbeit they stay on the word of God. Amen? Because God's the one who sent them. And when God wants a job done, he's going to get the job done if the man does it right, because God's going to back him up. How can they preach unless they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So when you hear the word and the word is preached to you, you keep building the word in your mind till you get convinced of it, till you understand it, and it goes down into your heart and it becomes part of you. So you hear more of the word, and you hear more of the word, and you keep adding. Because faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing what? But it's just not hearing the word, just not listening to the word, it's hearing to the end that you get it and you're ready to act on it. You get it. And every time you get it, every time you get, I got it, I finally understand it, you get another block. A little bit farther goes on, you say, I got it, I finally understand what that verse means to me. It's something now, instead of just being a verse, it's something that it is my own. I finally get it. What do you get? You get another block. And every time you get another block, you know what happens? You get closer to the promise of God. And you just keep, and how do you get the blocks? Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing. Hearing what? The word. The word. And nothing but the what? The word. And every time you hear the word, and every time you apply your heart to understand it, you can finally get, I get it. I get it. So you need peace in your life. Or you need wholeness. Or you need healing. Or you need money. Or whatever the promise of God you need in your life. Here it is. It's a promise of God. We know that the problem is not with God, because God has dealt unto every man to what? The measure. And whatever that measure is big enough to reach from here to there. We got it. We have it possible, available to us. But if there's a gap, if there's something missing, if we just can't reach it, we got to get it. So how do we get it? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word. And not just listening, but listening to start, but hearing to where you what? You get it. And when you get it, you get another block. And every time you get another block, you get closer to that promise of God. Now it's almost within reach. Almost, but not quite. So what do? We keep going to the word. Remember it says in Hebrews that forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but as we see the day approaching, we should be gathering together even more. See? The more you gather together, the more the word you can hear, the more the word you can hear, the more the word you have a chance to appropriate and believe, the more the word that you can believe and build into your heart and into your building of believing, you get another block to get closer to what? Your promise of God. So if you need to understand finances and you got a problem in that area, then you go to the word and you start looking at the word with regards to financial matters. If you have a problem with peace in your life or peace in somebody else's life that you want to help somebody else with, you look at the Word and you look at those scriptures that talk about peace. Jesus Christ is the what? Prince of peace. Thou will keep him in perfect what? Peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on him. See? And you start to put that in there, and then when it's in there, it becomes part of you, and you get that much closer to appropriating these promises of God in your life. You keep adding in your mind, in your heart, until you get it, until you understand it. And once you understand it, God gives you a block. And you can put it there, and you can build upon that. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts 8, great scripture. Verse 30, talking about a man with a ministry, Philip. It says, Philip ran thither to him, the eunuch, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And this is what he said, "Do you understand thou what you're reading?" That's what Philip was concerned about. See, it was good that the man was reading. And if you read the rest of the record, the guy says, "How can I?" No, he was reading. That's what I say. Faith doesn't come by reading. Faith doesn't come by listening. There are necessary parts to it, but faith comes by hearing, to where you get it, you understand. And when you understand it, when you get it, that's how faith comes. Look at Luke chapter 10. And you keep reading, you keep questioning, you keep looking at it, you keep listening to it until you get it, until you reach it. And once you do, you're able to put another block on your building to your get there. Luke chapter 10 is a remarkable scripture, remarkable segment of God's Word for many reasons. I remember teaching this when I was teaching you about spiritual warfare, this sort of thing. But in verse 1, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also," some texts read 72, "and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Jesus said, the harvest is great, laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or a scrip nor shoes." Don't say, waste time saying stuff to people, by the way. "Whatever house you enter into, say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, turn again. In the same house, eating and drinking as such as they give, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and in whatsoever city you enter, if they receive you, eat whatever they set before you. And look at this. Heal the sick that are therein, for the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. But whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out of the street the same and say, even the very dust of the city which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Then as you look at the record, and in verse 17, well, 16 is good to read. "He that heareth you heareth me." See that word heareth? Just doesn't mean, oh, it means heareth. "And he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despises him that sent me." Right? So it goes up the ladder. The 70 returned again with joy, saying what? "Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name, so-and-so, so-and-so, etc., etc." Listen, Jesus gave his disciples authority over sickness and disease and every evil spirit. He did. He equipped them. Jesus never gave his disciples power over people. He gave them power over the sickness, over the disease, and over the spirits. But he never gave his disciples power over people. Why? Because people have what?
Free will.
See the record? Some are going to believe. Good. Some that don't, do what? Wipe off the dust of your feet. Wipe off the dust of your feet. The power that we have is over sickness, disease. It's over the demons, but it's not over people. And unless people are willing to come into alignment and harmony with the Word of God, you can sit there and pray for them and minister to them till you're blue in the face. And you want to know what? Nothing's going to happen. So how do we fix that? Faith cometh by what? Okay, well, you're afraid. I see you're afraid. I see you don't quite get it. Here, let me help you. The Word of God says such and such. And you give them the Word of God, and they look at it and say, well, that can't be. Well, here, let me show you another verse. The Word of God says such and such over here. And they say, I was never taught that. This is going against everything I've ever thought or I was ever taught. Well, wait a minute. Look at this. And you look what Jesus said. Jesus said it. It must be true. It must be true. I get it. What did they get? This is what they got. Another block. They finally got it. Because faith comes by what? And hearing what? The Word. You read in that record also. Show you something. Look at verse 12. I told you, Jesus gave them power and authority over sickness, disease, and demons. Never gave them power and authority over the people. Look at the record. Verse 12. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Solomon than in the what? That city. It's talking about the judgment. In other words, free will, right? But along with free will, you're going to have to pay the piper in the end. Because you have a right to say no. You have a right to reject the gospel. And Jesus Christ said of those people where the gospel was preached to them and they didn't want to hear it, he said the people in Sodom are going to be better off in the day of judgment than these people. In other words, there's consequences for rejecting the Word of God. Not only now, but in the future. You see it? Jesus Christ, nor does God interfere with man's free will. He doesn't do it. God gave you free will, and God's going to hold you accountable for what you do with that will. You have a right to reject the Word. You have a right to think that you have a better way of doing things because you're educated, because you make 6 digits a year, because you drive a BMW, or whatever else and what other lies that the adversary got you to believe. But it all boils down to this. It boils down to you thinking that you have a better way than God. Remember I taught you last time we were together about being willing? And we people pray, I want to be willing. You remember I taught you that people would never pray that prayer? I want to be willing if they actually believed that God knows best. They would not want to be willing. They would just want to be desirous of doing His will. Because to be willing means that you still got to be convinced that God's going to do something better than what you can do in your own life. Why be willing? Just be desirous to receive it. I want to be willing. You know what that's saying? That's saying, I wanna, but something's holding me back from believing that you have my best interest at heart, God. I really wanna be willing, but there's something there that's amazing. If I step out, you may not be there to catch me. I wanna believe you, but I really do. I wanna be willing, but if I try to believe you, it may just not work. You may be sleeping that day. That ain't a good prayer, wanting to be willing. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is as good as his word, you don't have to want to be willing. You know what you would do? You would salivate to do his word. You would be desirous to do his word. You see? Look at Jeremiah 32. So, when there is a gap between you and a promise of God that you want to apply to your life, and we know that we appropriate these promises by faith. You have faith as a mustard seed. As just a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mountain, whatsoever, right? That's what we want to do. We want to be able to say. We want to be able to, when we pray, receive. And if it's just that little bit of faith that will do that, and God teaches us that he's dealt to every man the measure of faith, every man, no one's excluded, every born-again believer's got the measure of faith, so you're equipped to do it. We got to get from here to there. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Not just listening, not just repeating, not just talking, but hearing to the point where we get it, where we understand it. Then we can build in our lives. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." Good question. Is there anything too hard for me? You see God, like they're scratching his head, looking down this kid, asking him in prayer, "Oh God, could you do this?" And he's just like, "I'm the Lord. I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" The answer is what? No. Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are" what? You know the verse. Possible. All things are possible. Here's the possible. Here's all things. Here's the promise. All things are possible with God. We got to get from here to here. Now, how are we going to span that gap? How are we going to reach across that gap? We're going to add another block of believing to our faith. So we get to the place where we can grab that promise of God. How do we add another block of believing to our faith? Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing what? Hearing to the part to where we what? We get it. Not just in this year and out that year. Hearing to where we understand it, and you're reading sometimes. You all did this. You all read what that says. That's what it means. You got a light bulb moment in your head, right? Oh, that's what it means. I finally get it. Remember the synesis? You got here and you got here. When you get to here, the flowing together, that's where the understanding comes. You finally get it. Let's close in Hebrews. So we see that in order to appropriate the promises of God, whatever those promises are that you need for your personal, individual life, because God is a personal and an individual God, we got to reach for them promises in faith. God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. And whatever that measure is, it's got to be big enough to encompass all of his promises. He just didn't say to Brent, "You can have this one, and this one." No, he didn't say that. The measure, everything that's presently available is available to Brent, is available to Candy, is available to Joe. Everything. It's the measure. It's not a little squirt. It's not an ounce, and then we're going to give her a half pound. No, it's the measure. And the measure is enough to take you from when you're first born to your grave, if the Lord should tarry. That's the measure that you have. And we saw that faith comes by what? Hearing. And not just hearing, but hearing to the point that we get it. That we get it. And we read that scripture in Hebrews where it says, the word was preached, but it didn't profit a certain group because it wasn't mixed with what? They didn't believe it. They said, "Oh, that's a bunch of crap," or, "Oh, that's a bunch of old stuff. For all that's an old book. We're modern today. We know everything. We have technology. We have computers. Right? Nah. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God's dealt unto every man the measure of faith. Here the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. If Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, what is it that you could add to it? He'd do something incomplete? He's the author and the finisher. Now, when you make the cake, you may be the author and finisher of the cake, but I know some people in this room, I ain't going to say who when they make a cake, they say, well, I didn't have any eggs, so I didn't use them. And the cake looks a little... Or they say, well, I was supposed to use such and such, and I didn't have it, so I just put cornstarch in instead of sugar. That's not happened with Jesus, right? He's the author and the finisher. You know what he does? It's perfect. In other words, there's nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Of our faith. So what could we possibly add to it? What could possibly be lacking in our life? That we can go from A to Z until we can reach the promises of God? Nothing. Just simply a knowledge of how to appropriate those promises in our life. We got to understand the scripture. Once we understand that, it gets in our heart. For out of the heart are the issues of life. You understand? Out of the heart, man, what? Believeth. Believeth. He said, if you can believe and not doubt, all things are possible, right? That's where we want to get to, the place where we can believe. But so we have to have the word in our hearts. And we have to be convinced of the word in our hearts. We have to trust God's word in our hearts. Okay? And remember, I taught you also, trust in God is a byproduct of knowing God. Trust doesn't have to be worked at and labored over. And studied for. You understand? If you know me, and you get to know me, and the better you get to know me, the better you know what I'm going to do. You get an intimate knowledge. You understand? You don't have to work to trust me. Same with God. The work you need to do is to get to know God. Once you know God, trust will come automatically. Why is that? Because once you know God and you realize that he would never do anything to harm you, that he only has your best interest at heart, that he is as good as his word says he is, that he only loves you, that in him is light and no darkness at all, and once you know all these things about him, do you have to have a problem trusting him? Do you have to work trusting him? No. Because it's just going to come. Your little baby, you got your little baby. That little baby, you hold that baby. You love that baby. That baby knows you. You bond with that baby. Does that baby trust you? Does that baby have to work to earn your trust? Or vice versa? No. Because what? The baby knows you. This is my mom. This is my dad. They would never, never in a million years do anything to hurt me. Because the baby knows. Trust comes what? Automatically. It's effortlessly. Comes without any effort. Trust is a byproduct of knowing God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Remember the scripture I read you? Those that know God put their what? Trust in him. Why? Because it's a byproduct of knowing God. Guy comes up to you in the street, says, give me your watch. Hell no, I don't trust you. 30 years, I might ask you, you still might say, hell no, I don't trust you. But see, God's better than me. God's perfect. I'm imperfect. I say, I'll watch that cheeseburger for you and return it at the end of the day. Now, if you got an ounce of brain in that skull of yours, you know that ain't going to happen, right? Trust is a byproduct of knowing God. And the more we know God, trust will come. The more we know the Word, faith will come as it sinks down into our heart. And the more of the scriptures that we build in our life, the building blocks of the Word, we just get closer to the promises of God. And one day we turn around and it's there. It's there. And say, oh, there's that peace I've been needing. And you grab it. And then you know what you say? On to the next step. What do I need now? It's like a shopping cart. You're done that aisle, right? I found it. I found it. And some women, they will look and they will dig it out and they'll go behind and they'll go under and they, oh, I got it. It's the last one in the store, but I got it. And then what do? They go to the next aisle, right? Because they're after something else now, right? Same with us. Once we get it, now I need some joy. Now I need some financial prosperity. Now I need some health. Where's the aisle for health? You look in this, there it is, health. That's where I'm going. You take it and you stay in there until you what? You get it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. And thank you, Father, we can continue to come to you. And your word's exciting and it's new every day. And we prepare our hearts to receive the greatness of your word, that valuable word, Father. No one could put a price on it, that you gave your son for your word and for us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. We love you, and we want to make you proud of us, Father. And Jesus, we want to make you proud of us too. So may we walk in your steps, and may we continue to build the blocks of believing in our life so that we can have that faith that you've given us, and we can appropriate those promises in our lives. We thank you for being able to trust and have this confidence in you, in Jesus' precious name, through the knowledge of your word. Amen.